Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your house of worship. And Lord, we want to thank you for the words that we've already heard from the book of life. And Lord, as we're going to open again this afternoon your words of life, we ask and pray that you would bless it, that you would bless the teaching, Lord, as a reminder to all of us, and help us, Lord, that we may apply it to our lives, and that, Lord, we would give you all the thanks, the praise, honor, and the glory. And Lord, that the pride would not be for us, but it would be for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For this afternoon's meditation, the Lord's laid on my heart to read and to meditate upon a portion of Scripture that we are all very well aware of, found in Luke chapter 8. It's a parable that Jesus spoke to the people and to the disciples, one that is often referred to, and one that I don't think that we ponder, we think about it too much, and maybe that we should think about it more, especially when we come into the house of the Lord. And it has to do with the seed and the sower. And I'll tell you a little bit later how the Lord revealed this chapter to me. But it starts off in Luke chapter 8. It says, "Now it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, called Mary Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him for their substance. And when a great multitude had gathered together, and they all had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and as it was trampled, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop of 100. When he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let them hear.' Then his disciples asked, saying, 'What does this parable mean?' And he said, 'To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devils come and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they shall believe and be saved. But the one on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while in a time of temptation, fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, keeping it and bearing fruit with patience." I'd like to stop reading verse 15. You know, it's interesting as we go back and are just reminded of this portion of Scripture. Jesus is going through city to city and he's healing. And his name is getting out there. He's become, his name is being known, and a lot of people are following him. It says afterwards he went through every city and village and preaching and bringing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. So he wasn't alone. There was a company of people that came from various walks of life. There were a bunch of people that came from different cities, different villages, perhaps wanting to see him, wanting to hear what he has to say. Some were there because maybe they had a necessity of needs that they wanted Jesus to take care of, to heal him perhaps. Some were persistent. But in any case, there was a large number of people that were following Jesus. And along with them, in verse 2 and 3, Jesus spells out the name of a few of the women that were ministering to his needs. Then he goes and he gives this parable of the sower. Or the other scriptures that we find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they say maybe a farmer. Now, sowing seeds back then is a little bit different than they are now. Living a little bit out in the, not, we're not in the country, but to go to work, we're going through Oxnard. They have a lot of fields, so they plant their fields a little bit differently than they do now. In any event, there is some similarities between then and now. And a lot of it has to do with the soil. The farmer then would have a big pouch of seed, and he would go out after the field has been toiled, and he would spread the seed across and plant the plants or the vegetables or whatever seed he was sowing. And depending on the time of the day, whether it was morning or afternoon, maybe there was a little wind and the wind caught the seed, and the seed now would end up in various places. And Scripture tells us the different places that it would land on. Some of it would land on some hard ground where they would trot on, and it wouldn't actually get into the dirt. The dirt would be too hard for the seeds to get in and spring, and the birds would see it. They would come down and they would take it. And this is called the wayside. Some fell on rock, or maybe the soil in itself had a lot of maybe sand or rock in it, and when they watered it, there was some moisture there. The plant sprung up, but because of the rocks and the sand or the moisture would dry out real fast, and the hot sun would come up, and the plant would die. But one of the things that caught me in verse number 8, it says, "But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop of 400-fold. When he had said this, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let them hear.'" So this portion of Scripture is not only about the soil. You see, the Scripture doesn't say anything about the sower, who the sower is or anything about the sower. But it talks about the seed. When he goes to explain what the seed is, and seed is the word of God. But he says, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." And then in verse 10, he says, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries." Actually, the disciples are saying, "Hold on a minute, Christ, what are you talking about? What is this that you're telling us about the fields and the seeds being sowed? What are you trying to tell us?" And he tells the disciples, because all 12 of them were there, "It's for you to know, and I'm going to tell you." He goes, "The mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that they seeing may not seeing, and hearing they may not understand." Don't you think it's a little bit confusing? Here God is talking to them in parables, something that they're very well aware of, something that they can relate to, but he's telling them that I'm telling you something so that you don't understand, so that you don't hear. So this is kind of like, wait a minute, this is a little bit confusing. Christ, why are you doing this? And then he goes on and explains what the seed is. "The seed that fell by the wayside, the devils came and took it out. The ones that fell, the seeds that fell on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive it with joy. They're happy, they're encouraged, they're very enthusiastic about it. But then as time goes on, they have no root. And they believe for a while, but then from temptation, after temptation comes around, they fall away. And then there are those that fell upon thorns." And this is the portion of Scripture that reminded, and Friday night we got a phone call. Kevin asked us, he's got a piece of property and he needs to get, the weeds need to get knocked down. And it's no different from the property over here. We know once a year we have to have the weeds taken care of. And the fire department calls and says, "Hey, you need the weed abatement. You got to knock them down." And as I was looking at the weeds that were there, and I had a big hoe, and I'm trying to knock some of these weeds down, and they're called tumbleweeds. I don't know if you've ever had experience with tumbleweeds, but tumbleweed starts off with one little plant, and out of a plant comes this huge bush almost, and they have the thorniest thorns on those branches. And they hurt. But right underneath them was actually a good piece of grass. Actually, that looked like a good piece of grass, but at that time, it was already withered away. It was already gone. And I thought about this portion of Scripture. The thorns, the weeds, and being choked up. But then there are those that fell on good ground. Excuse me. And on the good ground, and those who heard the word with a noble and good heart, kept it and bear fruit with patience. And that is the key. You see, Jesus said, seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand. And before that he says, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. What does he mean with that? You see, because there was such a large group of people that were there, perhaps there was a group of people that really didn't believe. They were only there listening to him because they wanted to perhaps see him do miracles. Perhaps they had nothing better to do, and you know what? Hey, let's go hang out with the crowd. And in essence, he was weeding out the people that did not want to hear. Because if they heard, they would understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And their intent, and the reason why they were with the people, was not because they wanted to hear the message of Jesus. And actually, the saying that they have here, seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand, is actually written in the book of Isaiah. And Christ speaks that. But in all of it, it's the condition of the heart. When we stop and you look at it, it's the condition of the heart. So when we came to church this morning, did we ask God to cultivate our hearts so that when the seed is sown from the pulpit or from singing, that it would grow and bear fruit to his honor and to his glory? Is the land of our hearts been tilled and fertile enough to accept God's word? Because we can take that analogy and put it right in into this portion of Scripture. If we are here at church and our mind is somewhere else, Satan's plucked that seed out. It's not germinating within our hearts. What is the condition of our heart? Are you hearing? Do you have ears to hear? So as we leave this afternoon, just want to leave you with that question: is looking? Have you looked at your heart? And when you come to church, when you're reading the Scripture, is your heart available and ready? And is the ground toiled and fertilized enough so that you can accept the word of God, and that it may bring praise, honor, and glory to him? And then you can also share it with others. May God bless his word for this afternoon.